Tokyo, and then went with the driver trainers, and she placed in the United States and international, placed second. And so I would like to bring them in front of the board for a commendation. They are known all throughout the United States. They were known statewide. Our transportation, as I said many times, is known well, and I think it's going to make a difference when we have to replace a couple of those guys through retirement, because they know very well what Marysville transportation is. Amazing.
Mr. Harris? Mr. Crawford?
You know, I would just like to mention that with all the things going on these days and the havoc, I just got back from San Francisco, and you can actually feel, not only feel, you see four or five cops. I mean, there were a riot down there this time. I really don't know where schools are headed or the population's headed or it's an election year, but it would be nice if everybody could chill out for a while. So, it was crazy down there, and it seems to get crazy everywhere, and has nothing to do with school, but I thought I'd throw that in. Thank you. Go
ahead. Mr. Dental, nothing? Okay. I don't have anything either, really, so let's move on. Marysville Opportunity for Employee Organizations, Marysville Teachers Association. Operating Engineers, Local Union, number 3. Okay. Feel free to stand right up if you... Oh. California Employees Association, 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit. Okay. I think I have no public comment cards, so we'll move on to the Superintendent's Report.
And tonight I have just one item. If you have not noticed, there are a couple of posts going up around the district office. That's part of our plan to help with the traffic in the morning and at the end of the day for MCAA. We'll be putting across a bar gate for about 15 minutes in the morning, about the same amount in the afternoon. We're going to kind of monitor that to see how long that needs to happen. Our plan is for parents to be coming down in front of the district office, dropping the kids off right where that walkway goes over. We've had some near misses with students running through the parking lots with our warehouse trucks backing in and delivery trucks, and it's a little crazy in the morning and the afternoon. So we're hoping that we can work with the folks who are dropping kids off and picking students up and find a way to make it a little safer. So if you see some posts going up, that's what that's about. And we don't have any hard and fast times at this moment when they will be shut, but we'll be out there monitoring it and opening them back up just as quickly as we can, because I know a lot of folks do use that road. But that back area by MCAA is an accident waiting to happen. So I just wanted to give you that update in case you hear anyone saying what's going on and why are those there. It's strictly for student safety. And that's all I have this evening. Thank you.
Okay. I guess I better be on the right page.
I just had a question for Dr. Todd. So we're not talking about, we're talking about a gate behind here, not the road going out by the bus garage.
Yes, I have a map okay. here for you to look at. I'll pass it down to you. There are actually 3 gates that will go up. One will be out by Ramirez. One will be right as you go past here, that road that cuts past between CDS and the Independent Study Program. And then there is one more over by where the bus yard is. So we'll block that road off. So there's no traffic that can get back in there for about 15 minutes in the morning and the same amount of time in the afternoon. But I'll pass that down for you to take a look at.
In front of the district office, then exit.
Yeah, so they'll come in front, drop kids off, and then exit. We'll funnel the traffic in a more safe manner for students to be dropped off and picked up.
The other road that she was referring to is called the shortcut, and people cut across. At least that's the way I read it. So.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, approval of minutes. there's no additions or deletions of the minutes from, okay, for 6/21/16, we'll do that first. Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Rasmussen seconds. No discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Okay. And now the the minutes from the regular meeting, 6/28/16. Absent was Frank Crawford, and from a portion from 6:11 p.m. on. Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
If there's no additions or deletions, motion to approve.
Mr. Harris moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. I'm going to say that I'm not too sure. Does Frank vote on? Okay, you're going to abstain.
Partially abstain.
Okay, I think. So, Frank is going to partial abstinence. Okay.
Thank God it's summertime. That's all I got to say.
Okay, I think it's been moved and seconded by Mr. Boom. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Any abstentions? Frank, okay.
Partial.
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 Okay. And that brings us to the consent agenda. And anybody have any comments on the consent agenda?
I'm going to pull something.
Before we start. Okay, Mr. Fleury.
Personnel service number 6.
Okay. Services
12.
6.
It was the heating and air conditioning.
Would anybody else like anything else? Okay. Then, if there's no additions or no question there.
I make a motion to pass consent with the
and is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? No nays? Abstentions? Okay. Let's go back to personnel services, item 6. Mr. Flores.
I just have a couple questions for Travis. On this, this is going to be a job description where some of you, the men within your department can apply for it?
On these two positions, I believe that, I didn't bring it up with me, that was for the electrician and the HVAC.
Yes.
I believe that these ones are for, yeah, the guys with, that are within the district right now. They're classified as maintenance fours, and it just gives them the opportunity to have the classification behind them for what they're actually doing is they're journeyman carded skilled tradesmen.
Well, I know when Bernie and I were out there and visiting with the different groups, and they talked about reclassification, and I noticed that a lot of them have really taken on a lot of duties that they have not last year. I'm just wondering, how much to this point have you saved now with the things you're doing in-house with these current people?
I think, you know, I can speak on behalf without crunching numbers and being accurate at this point. I think it'd be safe to give an approximate number of anywhere from 650 to 800,000. I know that's a big gap, but I'd feel confident if we were to sit down and look at every project we've started over this last year since I came on board and since the guys have kind of stepped up and taken on new tasks. I would feel confident with saying anywhere between $600,000 to $800,000 easy. And avoided costs from contracting out jobs. As many of you are aware, we've taken on a lot of things in-house, filter changes, a lot of preventative maintenance tasks, along with doing fencing projects, plumbing, a lot of HVAC, electrical work, roofing, masonry, welding fabrication. We've done a lot of that in-house. As we've talked about the gates earlier today, as you have raised the questions, I know we had allocated a lot of money to have that contracted out. That project alone was estimated at $75,000 to have that done. I think the approximate cost we're at right now is about $3,500 in materials. As we talk about skilled tradesmen that we have in our shop, we've had one of our staff members who have actually fabricated the gate from scratch for materials. So we've repurposed a lot of things that were in the boneyard. So as you stated, we're definitely bringing out people's skill sets with the individuals we have on board right now. So that is one of the main reasons why we're kind of looking at these reclassifications and really giving just cause to the skills that these individuals are bringing to the district. And we're seeing, you know, we're all seeing the benefits of what they're doing out there.
Have you had very many people that are applying from other districts to come over here?
I actually get a lot of emails from people from other districts asking if we're hiring. They're very interested in coming on board. I get a lot of journeyman-level skills, tradespeople calling, looking from locksmiths, electricians, plumbing. It's actually been a really positive year because, as many know, we're going in the right direction, and we've got a lot of good things happening out there. So I do get a lot of people kind of out there looking for jobs here right now.
Well, I notice it's amazing how clean that shop is, and you've gone through there, and it's not been that way in years.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Travis, we've posted these positions on the website already. Mm-hmm. Was that for the HVAC and the electrician that we posted?
No.
Which one did we post, Romero?
Those were maintenance for in-house postings, in district only.
So that gives, you know, that gives the opportunity, because a lot of people, we have a lot of maintenance threes that have been here for quite some time, many years, some 9 years, 10 years, and they've brought up their skill set. So now it gives an opportunity, whether it's custodial, anybody within the district can apply for this, and, you know, even within in-house, if somebody sees the opportunity and they feel that they can apply for a maintenance four position now with their journeyman skill set, they're able to now apply and maybe bring themselves up to the next level as well.
Thank you, Travis. Thank you, Romero, for making that clarification again.
Sure. So, Travis, I want to ask, if we okay this tonight, we already have the people lined up to take this? In other words, will this person be hired tomorrow?
No, there's nobody.
Okay.
There's a process. They still need to express, formally need to express interest. There needs to be a, albeit a formal interview process, whether it's a meeting, whether it's a clear expectation of understanding those, the new duties and the expectations that come with the classification. So it's not an automatic by any means. And more importantly, there is a process, albeit a shorter process, because they are in-district candidates, if those are the successful candidates.
Since I don't have a scale in front of me, what is the salary?
At this time, it's the same as a maintenance four. Operating engineers would like us to reconsider the placement, and I'd said that it would come with the traditional negotiations project, or negotiations process, which in turn may require some of the allocated dollars to go towards that.
Thank you.
What was that? I'm sorry.
For these positions are coming out of your budget?
Yes, they are.
Routine restricted maintenance account.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. The money's Travis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the board will entertain a motion on personnel services number 6. Mr. Harris moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fleury. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. Unanimous. That brings us to new business. Purchasing Department, Resolution 2016-1701, state contracts.
As you will see from the agenda item, the purpose of this item being brought before you tonight is to request the board approve the resolution to acquire materials, equipment, supplies, services, and vehicles through the use of various state of California Department of and General Services and Department of Technology contracts. This is similar to what we do each and every year. And if you have specific questions, Mrs. Cartwright is here to answer them. But if you do not, we will be very happy to entertain a motion to approve.
No,
One quick comment. Kathy, thank you. You do a wonderful job for us. Appreciate it. Every year you do a wonderful job. Thank you for all your hard work. So with that, I'll make a motion to approve.
Mr. Boone moves to approve item one, Purchasing Department, Resolution 2016-17. Is there a second? Mr. Fleury seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Passes unanimously. Item two, Resolution 2016-1702, Disposal of Obsolete Textbooks.
Again, this is an annual request that the board approve a resolution to authorize the disposal of obsolete elementary and secondary textbooks and instructional materials for the 16-17 school year. And if you have questions, again, Mrs. Cartwright is here. Otherwise, we would be happy to entertain a motion.
I have a question. Will you publish it? Come on down. Okay. I can get you the question before you get there. Are you going to publish a date for maybe a sale for the materials that, where the community can come in and kind of browse?
Well, we actually...
For not just textbooks.
It's just here. The textbook. It's not the obsolete equipment. But with the textbooks, we did do a process. I did contact some vendors, used textbook vendors, to see if they were interested in any of the ISBN numbers. I worked with Educational Services starting back in March and April, to find out if there was any interest, and we had curriculum that was over a decade old that we were removing. Any of the nicer items we had, we compiled some of the newer items that were obsolete, and we did contact some charitable organizations and just some local community members, and we actually had some tutoring companies that came in and took almost all of it. So, yeah.
Okay. Before Kathy came along, I can remember 15, 20 years ago at the warehouse at teachers from Lyndhurst, Marysville, everywhere. If they didn't like the book, they'd call Danny or somebody from or Edwin, and they'd bring it up and shred them immediately. I mean, no. Kathy's went to the trouble of searching that. It's a need, a secondary need. APEC used all the books, in fact, a whole curriculum, and you're to be commended. Thank you.
You would think that we would have some way of getting these textbooks to third world nations, things like that.
There is. I think there's a Books for the Barrio. They will, historically, it's been a while, they'll take items. We would have to go like to the Bay Area. They'll take items except for history books, it used to be. Now we take anything that, because we can't take it to the landfill. We have to follow the process. So trying to give them away to charitable organizations or sell them, that's what we do first. Once they're stamped discard, the hardbound materials, we can give them to students, families. We offer them. But we take them to a local, ultimately for what nobody wants, we'll take them to a closer area in Sacramento, a recycling company in Sacramento.
Good idea.
Okay. Would somebody care to make a motion?
I'd like to move to approve.
Okay. Mr. Crawford moves to approve item two. Mr. Harris seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay. That moves us to Personnel Services, Resolution 2016-1703, Declaration of Need for Fully Qualified Educators.
Yes, thank you. And in keeping with the annual theme, this is required in terms of affording the district to utilize 30-day substitute teachers and designated subject permit holders for the 2016-17 school year as required by the California Commission on Teacher Credentialing and CDE. So this would enable us to utilize a non-fully credentialed employee to serve in a classroom for up to 30 days. There is a caveat in that there are bills currently in the process and through the legislative process to consider up to 40 and 45 day substitute teaching permits, given the shortages out there, especially in special education. So to the extent that we would utilize somebody for as many as 30 days, if those bills pass, we would have the flexibility to use them up to 45 days and beyond. That may require a revision to this resolution, and if so, we would bring it back at a later date once that legislative process is carried out. But in the meantime, this is an annual requirement, and we ask the board to approve it as it's presented.
Okay, if there's no discussion, then somebody would like to move to approve this item?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Mr. Boone moves to approve.
Second.
Second, Mr. Danable. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any nays? Unanimous. Brings us to Facilities and Energy Management Department. I'm going to start this out by saying anytime I see change orders, it brings bad dreams back to me from years past. So I started a question. This is the third change order for this particular item. And I know there are extenuating problems, but it's always a concern to me when things do cost overrun.
As you know, this is, as Mr. Rex said, this is the third change order. Obviously, change orders occur, especially when you're doing construction on existing facilities, already built buildings, already laid concrete and whatnot. So this is the final one from this project, and we'll take the total to 5.345%. And as it says there, it consists of relocating a transformer and circuit breakers for the F building, some unforeseen conditions, an irrigation sleeve for C building frontage. Again, you get into the ground, you see things that you know, while you're working there, you want to correct them for the future. Two duct alarms with weatherproof enclosures for the C building, added scope that we thought would be good while we're in the project. And then a replacement of four ceiling interior hatches for the F building. That was owner directed at us. They gave us the option. Again, we want to get staff in there. We want to be able to maintain those units and be able to service those ducts in the future. So we said we'd like to do it while we're there. The existing hatches weren't bad. Okay, so a lot of it was stuff that we noticed as we're going on the project.
So is increment one complete?
Yes, it's complete. I know some of the board will be making sure the system's fully operational for first day of school, but it is complete.
And then what type of warranty do we have on their work that, and how long would that be?
To go back to the initial question, the punch list was complete and will be signed off within a week. When we get the gas back on, which should happen within a week or two at Lyndhurst, we can do the final commissioning for the two buildings to make sure the system is operating most efficiently. That's a report that's done once, like I said, the gas is turned back on. And with regards to warranty, they do vary a little bit. It's normally a two-year and then a five-year for manufacturer's defects. But again, it does vary by item.
So if the thermostats go out or something within 2 years, they'll come back and fix them?
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty standard warranty period of 2 years, by and large, for most items, except the manufacturer's defect, which is typically 5 years. And if you didn't notice, we did get the reimbursement from Siegler, which is pretty unprecedented in the industry. It almost never happens. So I worked really hard to get that.
Yes, thank you. So for increment one, we won't see any more bills.
This is it. Okay. Done. Thank God.
Yeah. Check now we can move on to increment two.
Yes, increment two should be finally DSA approved on the 22nd. We changed the pre-bid walk so we'd have a fully approved and final thorough set of construction documents to take to bid. So the dates did slip. We issued an addendum because we wanted to make sure that they had captured every single thing, which hadn't happened, and so we went back to the drawing board and made them make it right for the district. Those were some pretty hard conversations to have.
Yeah,
I agree. Thank you, Cynthia, for all that work.
And we did recently get a reimbursement as well from RGA for some of the work related to the quad that they had left out, even though they had been told more than one time to include. So they stepped up. That was also a very hard conversation to have, but we had success there.
Thank you.
And for summer projects, we have had, knock on wood, no change orders so far over and above the approved amounts, with the exception of the kitchen. Today, they opened that up, and we found that we had some leaking ductwork that we would have never been aware of because that system hadn't been in operational status for a number of years. So short of that, everything is with the improved amount so far, and everything's almost kind of wrapped up. Except for the quad, which will be about 50% through the main quad area as of next week.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion to approve.
Mr. Harris moves to approve facilities and management.
Second.
Energy management number one. Mr. Crawford seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? None. Unanimous. Okay, business services number one, agreement with Capital Public Finance Group for facility planning and development mitigation services.
So this is re-agendized from the final board meeting. I know the presentation on the master plan came after this was agendized, so we brought it back for this meeting. Again, a lot of it covers updating the facilities master plan, working with School Site Solutions, that's our team. And they're going to update based on need. But essentially, we're working on the scope of those Tier 1 projects and the pricing. And there's also some mitigation service. They work with us in the county to try to ensure that we get proper funding for new growth projects within the district so that we can, if we have to build additional sections of schools, add classrooms and such.
So when we kind of started the process, I think our goal was to have a deferred maintenance plan for the district, and then it kind of blossomed into the facilities master plan. And within the facilities master plan that we have, it seems to me that we have a pretty good deferred maintenance plan of what needs to be done at each one of the school sites.
Yes.
It just seems to me before we start putting more money into the development of more parts of the master facilities plan, I think we should put that money towards the deferred maintenance of what we already have in the plan. Instead of making a thicker plan, let's utilize that money to try to do some of the projects.
And the deferred maintenance is a separate fund. It's in Fund 14. This will be funded out of Fund 25. It has to do with growth. So we monitor growth yearly. We do the demographics, and this is just part of our efforts to monitor the growth. We are going to do the projects, and we do have a list of projects in the tier. What we're doing is some of it will be done internally. Some of it we use with them in School Site Solutions is to further develop the scope and add costs so that we know exactly what items in the tier we can start programming into deferred maintenance. We do have more than enough projects to do for a deferred maintenance plan. Those are Tier 1 projects, you know, barring emergencies or things that come up in the middle of the year.
So are you saying the funds that we're using here are separate from the other funds for
yes.
the...
For deferred maintenance, they're separate funds. They have different purposes. We can't use deferred maintenance funds to do a master plan.
Oh, typical for the government.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what else can those funds be used for out of Fund 25?
They can be used for growth, so when we add portables and whatnot.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
They can be used for adding portables or other classroom buildings. That's why the mitigation's here, because, for example, your mitigation, you're trying to maximize your revenues from those, so you could build or add classes. We're not in that situation currently based on our capacity. We also use it for demographic studies because that projects out to 10 years to see where our capacity is. So these projects are trying to develop our facility plans into the future so we meet all kinds of our population, whether it's growing or not. That's why we use developer fees.
And what funding's been identified to do some of the deferred maintenance that you've talked about?
It's all Fund 14. We move $820,000 a year into Fund 14, so we use that to do our deferred maintenance plan. So each year there's $820,000. We're going to finish on audited actuals. We should have a little money left this year. That rolls over into 16-17. And so we plan it out for the next 4 or 5 years. What we're trying to do is plan out for the next 4 or 5 years with the projects in Tier 1, barring some changes in between to use $820,000 a year.
So will Fund 14 allow enough money for ongoing projects then?
Yes. There is some money to do some ongoing projects. If you look at the Tier 1 category of projects, there are projects in there that are need substantial facilities funding. There are some that qualify as deferred maintenance and that they're existing systems that we do have the funding for. And there are some as small as routine maintenance that we will use the funding that basically Travis's department uses on a daily operating basis. It depends on the size and scope of the project. That's what we're doing. A lot of the scope help we're going to use from the outside is more of those bigger facility projects so that we can plan. A lot of it, too, is as we go forward, we're going to summarize and say, this is what we've completed on Tier 1. This is what we have. Here's the cost. These are a lot of the reasons why is we don't have the available monies. You'll see the deferred maintenance and routine maintenance type projects fall off, but you won't on the bigger facility projects. So it'll kind of highlight the need to have more substantial funding, and we'll have to work toward that in the future.
I think it's also important to note that this is a not to exceed, and it's based on what we ask them, the work we ask them to perform for us. So it has them in place as we identify projects and information that the board would like to see come forward.
And part of it, too, is to have that impartial, experienced firm, because they bring best practices from a lot of other districts, and they're the ones who ran the process with the board. So if things change during the year or we need to reach out more with our facilities arm and get input, you know, they'll definitely work with the board to do that. I don't think it will be as much as – we're not planning on it being as much as this prior year, but for this year there still may be a couple more opportunities to get input. Because for us it's really important to understand if things change, because things change a lot with facilities and it's not communicated. So this is part of our efforts to keep people apprised of what's going on in our facilities department and to get input and to notify people of change so they help with that process.
Okay, the board will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Okay, Mr. Crawford moves to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Danable. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And nays? Two. Mr. Broom, Mr. Rasmussen, the motion passes. Okay. Brings us to item, to item two, agreement with K&N Pacific Finance for financial advisory services based on RFP 17-1013 results. Okay. I think we discussed this in an earlier board meeting, right?
It wasn't. We've informally provided the board with information. We haven't provided them with the results. These are the final results. Government Financial Strategies has provided this service for many years. It's our total financial advisory services. So they help us with bond refinancings, refundings. It could be they help us with continuing disclosure and whatnot. So we went out. We haven't gone out to a public bid scenario to really compare services and get the best pricing. We did an evaluator process. It was a very, very close process. We had very, very qualified firms. And the rankings are the results of our total evaluation, which looks at fees, experience, relevant, the references, relevant experience too in terms of K-12 school districts. And we also had an interview process, and it was provided a presentation and an 8-year plan on where the district can look financially. As you know, we have existing debt. We have to look at our needs. That's why we're doing a facilities master plan. So this is the other piece. When you put it with a plan, who's going to help us strategize so that we get the funding we need to tack that plan? That's a lot of the reason why, going back to the plan, we want to have dollar figures and budgets so we know exactly what our targets are for our financial goals with facility funding.
I'm maybe not understanding here.
Yeah, but we have that problem too.
Yeah.
We're gonna pay them $18,000 at the most to do what?
To provide. So, for example, we're gonna meet with them to discuss potential refinances or refinancing possibility.
But if they do refinance or refund, start refunding, we have to pay them to do that.
Yes, that's
so
additional.
So all they're going to do is advise us for the $15,000 or $18,000.
And do the continuing disclosure. So our existing debt, they provide all the continuing disclosure services that are required by all the federal regulations.
Right.
So that's a large portion of that contract. The general advising services, maybe two meetings a year. A lot of it is the continuing disclosure. And then again, it's a not to exceed, like she said on the last, so it may not even be near that total. So we typically meet with them just on general. You know, it takes their time and stuff to go over things. But yes, if we do the refinancing, that's a separate.
What do their services cost us if we want to start talking about refinancing?
Okay, let me get
to you. Is it like $200? The other one's $195 an hour.
It depends. It was 109, but prior. They have a different pricing format. So, for example, it depends who you're meeting with. It goes from 175 to 250. It depends who you're working with.
Okay. So, depends on who we're working with in their firm?
Yes.
Okay. So, if we're talking to them about general financial services, that's included in the $18,000 or $15,000.
Yes, all that and all the continuing disclosure.
And the continuing disclosure.
Yes.
But if we start talking to them and say, advise us on refinancing.
Once it gets to the point that we're interested in the financing, yeah, then it all goes through that. And we have to do a separate amendment to this agreement because this is their general service.
No, I understand that. Yeah. I can read that. But I'm just.
It's the same exact structure we had.
They're not doing much. They're not doing much for us at all.
But remember, again, this is a maximum amount,
yeah.
And it's only based on the services we request from them.
Okay.
So the meter's not running once you approve this. It's only once we contract with them to do a specific service.
And we use government financial strategies. We mirror what we've done in the past. So this is exactly like we've been doing it.
Okay.
We just tried to put it all in one I think there was like four contracts that constituted theirs.
Yeah.
This way we're doing it now, there's two. There's this one general with the continuing disclosure, and then there's one going to be if they do any specific issuances.
Okay. And our money that's – are we still in with the county?
Yes. The county treasurer, yes.
So that's where our money investment is, and they're not talking about investment. They're talking to you about
– debt, typically.
Debt, okay.
So the certificates of participation, if we decide to do anything in that route, our existing bond issuances.
Now I understand. I didn't really understand if we're in with the group in our money earning the interest, what were they talking to us about?
We're not talking cash equity.
Right.
We're talking
right.
debt. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Now I understand.
Mr. President, to the chair, I'm not sure the precedent, and I've never done this before, but I made a motion that I would like to rescind and have more discussion on, and that would be business services number one. After considering Mr. Boone and Mr. Rasmussen's arguments, I have some reservations for permanently putting my stamp on. I don't know if we can without a motion or a vote by the.
I believe that item's closed.
Yes. It's procedurally, it would take the majority of the board to approve. Reconsidering the item. So it would take a majority of the board to say yes, they want to reconsider since it is a motion that has been passed.
Take a vote. Well, that's up to the president now. I can't make the.
But the action has been taken and it sets unless the board chooses to reconsider. And it takes a vote of the board to reconsider and then it takes a second vote to see if you want to approve or not approve the item.
So somebody would have to make a motion that
for reconsidering
item one, mm-hmm. and then there would have to be a second, and then we would, if that passed, we would reconsider item one. Yeah, but
I would like to make a motion.
We're not.
Well, we can't yet.
We're currently on not on this
item. With that completion of number two.
One of the other things about number two is that it comes out of the general fund, whereas most of our funds are specifically designated. We can't spend them on anything else, but this is out of the general fund. So that's
Not a huge amount of money, but it's...
I do caution the board that we have historically had financial advisors that we can turn to when we have specific questions on debt service.
And if we do have a debt refinancing or that comes as a separate agreement, that will come out of the closing costs or wherever the debt is. So it doesn't come, it's just this to the general fund. And $15,000 for services, $3,000 is just for reimbursement for out-of-pocket expenses. Government Financial Strategies.
Okay. Why don't we finish item two? Okay. The board will entertain a motion for item two. Okay, Mr. Fleury moves to accept item two. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, any nays? Okay, unanimous. Okay, now, the board will entertain a motion if you would like to reconsider item one.
I would like to make the motion to rescind.
No.
I can't.
Reconsider.
Yeah.
Item one.
Item one in business services to the whole board. And that would be a roll call vote?
No, there would have to be a second.
If there was a second.
Okay, second. Mr. Danimal was the second. Okay, so now we're going to have to approve a roll call vote, right? Okay.
Well, we want a discussion, right?
Yeah, it's right. A discussion period now. Haven't decided.
Okay.
Well, first you have to decide. First, you need to decide whether the board will reconsider.
Well,
at
Mr.
this point,
Boone brought up some very good points.
No, we have
not
voted.
It's been moved and seconded to reconsider.
Yes.
So a vote needs to take place as to whether or not the board will reconsider item number one under business services.
That was Frank's
motion. Motion by Mr. Crawford, seconded by Mr. Danimal, and now it is up for a vote as to whether you want to reconsider or have your vote stand as it is recorded.
Okay, all those in favor of, that's a roll call vote. Mr. Boom? Yes. Mr. Rasmussen? Okay, Ms. Fleury? Okay, Mr. Harris? Okay, Mr. Crawford? Yes.
Yes.
Manuel, yes. We'll give a majority. So.
And your vote?
No.
Mr. Boom, can I?
Now we can reconsider.
Okay.
Now you need to make a motion. Have it seconded, and then have your discussion. Because you've decided you want to reconsider, so your last vote is now null and void, and so now you need a motion to approve or not approve. It needs to be a second, and then you may have your discussion.
Simple elaboration. I see what you mean.
Okay. We're okay. Okay.
So do you want to make a motion?
I make a motion, please.
Okay. Mr. Crawford moves. Okay. Is there a second? Mr. Danimal seconds. Okay. Now we're up to the discussion.
Mr. Boom, would you please elaborate on the background agreement with your, because you're familiar with the capital PFG and the workings that went on there. And you would
elaborate on what? Probably questions that
there
should
was
be more directed
some
at
some confusion to it. The figures and the numbers that we were actually voting on, or had the existing agreements on mitigation opportunities. Were you making reference to what local agencies were you referring to, or what are they? I kind of lost it there right in the middle. And you and Mr. Rasmussen posed a point and then voted no, and I'd like to know the logic for it.
I was wanting
to
know how we're going to finance these, you know, these facilities projects going forward. If we haven't identified money going forward, and it doesn't seem that we have, and we've already developed a master's facilities plan, and then why are we dumping another $50,000 into something that I don't see the funding going forward for. So.
It couldn't have been explained to any better. Thank you. I agree with that. I
do. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Ryan has an explanation that will counter that.
They're running parallel paths, so what we're trying to do is add scope and sometimes even conceptual drawings that go along with the scope so you understand what the project is, and pricing or budget so that we know exactly when we work with K&N, who you just approved as our financial advisors, how much money we need to obtain. For example, if we're trying to get as many of those tier one projects, we need to know what bundle of items, how much of those are going to cost so that we can obtain the financing. So they kind of work on parallel paths. If we don't do that, then we're kind of taking a shoot in the dark. We'll do some of the stuff internally because the smaller stuff's very easy for us. The larger projects take a little bit more development and advisement in terms of what it's going to take to do it. That's why I said it's not just the contract with Capital Public Finance. There's a second arm to this with School Site Solutions. They do a lot of the work too. So that's why we have not to exceed amounts, because we don't know exactly how the exchange of that work. We have to meet with both parties and kind of say, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, like we did the first year under the facilities master plan.
I think it's important to remember that we've identified projects, but we've not placed a dollar amount on them. So you may say you want to do projects 1, 2, and 3, but if you don't know how much those items are going to cost to bring them to fruition, that puts us at a disadvantage.
And at the same token, like you see the change orders, well, what happens with the change order is you're changing scope. There's a cost to that. So we need to have some general budget numbers to know what it's going to do. There's some that are nebulous. Like, I know there's two in a row on the master plan that talk about redoing the interior of Foothill Intermediate School, for example. Well, what does that exactly entail? Are we going to be adding walls? What can we do structurally? Do we have to work? Obviously, we'll have to work with DSA. What are the costs associated with the soft costs? You know, we need to scope out exactly what we would do in that project as if it's going to go forward. And I know it seems, well, what if it never happens? But we have to plan, because if we do want that to happen, we have to start now to plan it and to cost it, to put in escalation factors, and to try to obtain that money so that we can make that happen. I know a lot of similar efforts were done before the last two bonds obviously were issued, but we've been going a little bit more based on need and trying to pair things together, because obviously things haven't been provided attention, so we've been using the one-time discretionary money. But as we go forward, there's going to be millions and millions of dollars of needs, so we need to identify those now. This is the process we're proposing to do it.
So developer fees and Fund 25, could you just in 2 cents tell me the
growth and facilities planning, that's what you can use that for. Okay. Developer fees are the fees you get from commercial and residential developments, and so you have to, districts basically statutorily are provided, they call them school fees, but to us we call them developer fees because we get them from developers. And sometimes we have development mitigation agreements. That's why part of this is mitigation agreements, because we can get more than what's statutorily required. We work with especially most of our growth is in the county section. It's not in the city of Marysville. So we work with the county office, Yuba County. And then we try to work with the developers because we work with their planning department, and we try to develop mitigation agreements about the actual cost. Depending on where the development is, whether we need to grow or rehab facilities based on, you know, there's prior growth that we never really accounted for. We weren't able to upgrade to that. And also do facilities planning. So some of that is demographics. Some of that is, that's why there's a developer portion, or kind of like a development portion in our master plan. Not only are I know we haven't had a lot of growth lately. We did have growth this past year. But we have to plan and see what we're going to need in the future facility-wise, whether that's growth, in which we can directly use developer fees to add classrooms, or other projects, which is what we use developer fees to plan for.
And one other final piece, if the board identifies project 1 or 2 that they want to have them work on what the cost is, then you have them work on that 1 or 2 projects, then you can see. If that exceeds what we think we have available, then certainly you don't need their services to do any more of that.
Yes. And sometimes if there's something, like say we got another one-time discretionary, we're like, we're going to do project 1. We might not even use them. We would just go to the architect because we know we need to have that. We have the money available. We're not planning and trying to see how we're going to get more money. Then we would just go work with the architect and develop the scope for that project. So it's kind of dependent on how far ahead do we want to plan. I'm just trying to think with the district and what we're trying to do with facilities is think 5, 10, 15 years in the future. And so, yeah, we're putting a lot of investment into our future by doing this.
And remember, it is based on what we ask them to do. It's a service that they aren't just generating hours on their own. So they are directed by the district which projects we want them to look at and to give us the latest figures. It would not make financial sense to have them go through and cost out every single item that we've identified in that plan. Well, we don't have the funding, nor will we at any time soon.
And they give us line item invoices, too, so we see what date, what is specifically they worked on in the hours, and who was a responsible party. So that's attached to their invoice, so we make sure it's authorized and what.
And we have a very small facilities department, so they're not able to do these larger projects and cost it out. These folks do this all the time. They have the latest figures. They know how to do that in a very expedient manner.
It just seems to me, I guess I'm thinking, maybe we need to figure out what those 1, 2, 3, or 4 projects are before we even maybe move forward to this point. It seems to me that we could bring these folks on at any point in time. And I know Ms. Jensen is already working with the county and the developer fees and asking to raise those developer fees. So it just seems, I guess in my mind, I don't know if it's a necessity that we need to have at this point.
Mr. President, I'm sorry for throwing this bizarre. Thank you for the clarification. Would I have to make another motion?
No, you've made a motion, and your motion was to approve or to not approve the item on the agenda. That was my question.
Okay, my motion is to not approve.
Okay, so there's then been a motion. Mr. Danable did a second, and now it is up for a vote by the rest of the board.
Do we need a roll call here?
No.
Okay.
To not approve.
Yeah. All those in favor of not approving the motion, the motion, okay, please raise your hands.
Who do not want it. Do not
Four.
Want us.
Okay.
So it's Mr. Crawford, Mr. Danable, Mr. Boom, and Mr. Rasmussen are the no votes to not do it.
And I suppose we should, those that want to approve the motion, okay.
Those who do not agree with not doing it. So there are 3 no votes, which would be Mr. Harris, Mr. Rex, and Mr. Fleury.
Thank you, Mrs. Scott. Thank you, Lisa. If you understood that.
Okay.
My apologies, Mr. President, board, but I've never done that. We have such a multitude of paperwork given to us Thursday. This is a small one. I could see some things here that could cause some problems.
I should have done this earlier, but for those people that haven't seen this pass book, there's some outstanding stories in here about the pass officers and some of the work that they do. So I just wanted to recommend it. That being said, meeting's adjourned.
Thank you. Sorry for keeping you late.